Tonight is a Wednesday night, December 5th, the fourth night of Hanukkah. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're going to do something, Lichvod Yom HaChanukkah, how the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot Hanukkah might be an exception to the rule of mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavanah.
Okay, Rabotai. We're doing something for Hanukkah tonight. So if you'll take our packet, I'll give you the headline of it. A couple of years ago, we had done a topic about Hanukkah, which demonstrated the unique aspect of the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, in so much as there is a general rule that normally when you perform a mitzvah and fail to perform, to recite the bracha preceding the mitzvah, you are mikayem the mitzvah nonetheless. The bracha of a mitzvah never precludes your fulfillment of a mitzvah. So if you were to light candles on Friday night, and you forgot to make the bracha, you just lit the candles, you are yotzei the mitzvah of lighting the candles. If you take a lulav on Sukkot and you just picked it up, you forgot to make a bracha, you are yotzei the mitzvah. You eat a kezias of matzah Pesach at night, you didn't say alachilas matzah, you are yotzei the mitzvah. So at the time we demonstrated that hadlakat ner Chanukah might be an exception to the rule. Anybody remember that year? No. Okay. I'm not giving that one again.
I remember the share, but I don't remember.
Okay. So I remember I checked my files. Yes, we discussed
it. Exactly what you said when you pass outside, you pass a menorah. You said,
No, that's a different, different share. That's the share about why is Ner Chanukah the only mitzvah for which if you can't perform the action, you make a bracha seeing someone else's neirot, the bracha of the roeh. So I did that today for the senior citizens kollel. Wow, that's very nice. Okay, that's very nice. I told them that today a lot of people, most people don't practice that, but if you want to be a tzaddik, one of the gedolim, that's it. Okay, anyhow, so tonight we're going to do something else where there is a general rule and Ner Chanukah might be an exception to that rule. Might only be Ne'erchan, it might be Megillah as well. So let's see what the rule that I want to do. I'm going to start off with the rule, and you will not necessarily interpret the first source the way the Magen Avraham will interpret it on page number 2, but the Shir tonight is predicated on the Magen Avraham, who is the leading commentator on Shulchan Aruch Orachaim of the laws that govern our lives. He interprets Karo's statement about a fundamental principle in a way, and tonight's shir is based on his interpretation, even though you don't necessarily have to agree with him. So the Siman in Shulchan Aruch is Siman Samach, page number 1, where it's bracketed Se'if Dalet. Says Karo, Yesh Omrim She'ein Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana. There are those who say airheads can fulfill every single mitzvah. Just do the action. You don't have to have anything in mind. You don't have to know the significance. You don't have to have in mind to be yotzei a mitzvah. That's the first opinion. V'yesh omrim shetzrichot kavana. And others say that all mitzvot must be accompanied with an appropriate thought process. In the absence of that appropriate thought process, you do not fulfill the mitzvah.
Rabbiana?
Yeah?
What's the rationale behind that you wouldn't need kavana?
Because the thinking is that unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do something, these things, you would never do it in any event. So it's obvious that you're doing it for Hashem, and having the right idea. Why else would you eat?
Meaning the action would be
Would be indicative that you're aware of what's going on. Otherwise, you wouldn't do certain things. Like, I would never take a lulav and an etrog unless God asked me to. So I have to be aware of the fact that I'm doing a mitzvah before I picked it up. I have to be aware of the fact that you're sitting in a sukkah. Otherwise, who would sit in such a booth for 7 days? And that's true with, I think, every single mitzvah. Every single mitzvah, bein adam lamakom, governing our relationship between man and God, if not for God asking us to do that, we would never do it. Never. I wouldn't eat matzah, I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't blow a shofar, I wouldn't put on tefillin in the morning, I wouldn't do any of these things.
You would light candles though on your Shabbos table, supposedly that was for the light.
Right? But he told you to do it.
No, I'm saying, but that...
You do it every night. Exactly, if it was dark, not unique to Shabbos. Not unique to Shabbos. Yeah, good point. So, anyhow, Caro now says the alternate opinion is that mitzvot srichot kavana lotzeit ba'asiyat otza mitzvah. In order to be yotzei that mitzvah, you must have some degree of kavana. And then he writes, v'chein halacha. I paskin like the second opinion. So just as a style point of view, whenever you read Caro, he quotes multiple opinions many, many times. And the rule of pinky that we operate with is... I've said that before. It's not so funny anymore. right. It's okay. Is that Caro himself agrees with the first opinion. He then cites the second opinion as a courtesy to outstanding authorities who have an alternate opinion. So, more often than not, you well know, I think I've told you this, Caro, in the 16th century, took 3 previous codes, considered them, and selected 1 opinion out of those 3. The 3 were Maimonides, the Rambam, the Rif, the candy man from Morocco. He lived in Fez. He was the one who sold those Fez candies to make a living. So the Rambam. And the Rush, the Rabbeinu Asher in Barcelona, Spain. But he was trained in southern France. He was an Ashkenaz scholar. So most often, Caro records the Sephardic tradition, not the Ashkenazic tradition, because 2 of his 3 guides were Sephardim. Rambam and Rif were both Sephardic. So more often than he quotes the halacha which follows Rambam and Rif, and then, as a courtesy to the Rush, he writes the second opinion. And then he doesn't write V'chein Halacha, because we know his style. Here he did it the reverse for some strange reason. He writes the Halacha, opinion number 1. Some say you don't have to have Kavanah for mitzvot. The others say you do have to. But since he wants to adopt the second one, and he didn't write it first, he has to conclude his statement, V'chein Halacha. So I don't know why he didn't just the reverse. Right, there are those who say you have to have Kavana. There are those who say you don't have to have Kavana. So you want to know which one does Caro believe? Always the first opinion. Those are the rules in terms of reading Caro. So from a style point of view, it's a little unusual that he has formulated this particular perspective. Now, if I would not turn the page to page number 2, tell me what Caro says about mitzvot srichot kavana. Does he claim that there are any differences between type A mitzvot and type B mitzvot? No, he reads it very sick. Didn't say anything. He just wrote, the halacha is you need kavana by mitzvah. However, turn the page. Page number 2 is the Magen Avraham commenting on that statement of Caro. And as I said, the Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim, in the laws of day-to-day life, in the morning, Kriya Shema, Shabbos, Yom Tov, all of the days that impact our life, Magen Avraham is the number 1 authority written on the side. Not so in the other branches of Shulchan Aruch, where the Magen Avraham didn't write much. But in your day, in the laws of Kashrut, the Shach, Siv Seikon, the Shach is the most important commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. But in Aruch Chaim, for most of our lives, we deal with one branch of Shulchan Aruch, and that's Aruch Chaim. So Magen Avraham, so when he says something, this it's taken pretty seriously.
Rabbi Avraham?
Yes?
But isn't it significant that the Shulchan Aruch waited to bring this up by Kriyat Shema?
Of course it's significant. Of course it is. In fact, he should have discussed it in Hilchot Tzitzis, which is the first mitzvah. I don't know why. I don't know why he waited until he got to chapter 60 to discuss this, where the first mitzvah where he could have done this is in chapter 8, when he introduces, when you get up in the morning, if you are a male, you wear tzitzis. Well, tzitzis is a mitzvah. Do you have to have kavana when you put on tzitzis? Or you don't have to have kavana when you put on tzitzis? So now look at...
But Shema is not... There's no action.
Okay, but where does it, he does he distinguish between speaking mitzvot and act? What does he write?
Right.
You have to have kavanah. He doesn't make any distinctions. We're going to see today that Rabbeinu Yonah will make a distinction. I've just started with Karo. So now, Rabotai, read where I bracketed the Magen Avraham and tell me how the Magen Avraham limits the psak of Karo, who we just read. Look at the Magen Avraham. It's 8 simple Hebrew words. Some of them are Aramaic.
It's a direct sentence.
Correct. Magen Avraham says that which Karo ruled, that mitzvot require kavanah, is only by mitzvot deoraita. Aval b'mitzvot derabanan, lo ein tzrichen kavanah. Where does he get this? He doesn't tell us. But there is a parenthesis, there is some printer or somebody researched an opinion, and he says this, the Radbaz, Rab David ben Zimri, is a very famous, prominent posek, and in his Tshuvot, Chelek Aleph Sivchof, he says that. So Magen Avraham is not just letting me know that the Radbaz makes this distinction. Magen Avraham is telling me, I believe that that's Karo's opinion. I don't know how he comes to that conclusion. Maybe the Radbaz who elaborates on this does. But we're operating tonight with the Magen Avraham's perspective. All mitzvot deoraita require kavanah. All mitzvot midrabanan do not. So ladies, when you lit candles tonight, did you have to have any type of kavanah? Why not? Because it's a mitzvah midrabanan. Very simple. What we are going to show tonight through a variety of sources is that perhaps Hadlakat Neirot is an exception to the rule, and that even though it's only midrabanan, you must have kavanah, and to understand the halachic reason why. And that reason will apply to many other mitzvot as well. That's our direction for tonight. Yes?
Can you elaborate what you mean, though, have kavanah, what that means? You have to stop and say, I'm doing, like, what is it?
Okay, so there are several levels of kavanah. It's a very good question. I'm going to give you the basic level. As we go along, we'll see there might be other kavanot as well. But the basic level is that when you do the mitzvah, you should be mentally aware of the fact that God asked you to do the mitzvah. That God asked you. And in fact, in all probability, that's why we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. Making a bracha really has very little to do with a mitzvah. When I have a piece of steak, I understand why I am obligated to make a bracha. It doesn't belong to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me an opportunity to partake of that which He created. So logically, I can understand, I should say thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for the opportunity to have a steak and some salad. I thank Him for that. Fine. Why should I have to acknowledge God, hey, you told me to do this mitzvah, thank you for telling me to do this mitzvah? You don't do mitzvot for enjoyment purposes. So why do you have to need a bracha? The bracha is only designed to highlight for you, why are you doing this action? Because you told me to. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu.
Right, so it sounds like the bracha should be a nachal kavana.
Good. So that's the primary. But the halacha knows human nature. So human nature is that just as you can read a davening text and just plopple it, you'll say the bracha and plopple it up. You don't even think about what the bracha is saying. And therefore they demand that you be aware. Initially the purpose of the bracha was to remind you to have that in mind. But you have to have it in mind. That's what we mean thus far. Simply, and in fact, I'm sure you've seen in your little siddur, the Hineni Muchan, right? Based the song which you used to sing in camp, Hineni Muchan, Amzuman, is designed to highlight the fact that I'm doing what? I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked me to. That is Kavanah for do mitzvah.
Because the bracha has become
wallpaper? Because the bracha has done wallpaper. And some brachot, where we sing it in camp, is before Birchat HaMazon. Birchat HaMazon does not have a bracha to introduce Birchat HaMazon. You don't say, Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu levareich Birchat HaMazon, which perhaps could have been there. What? That's a different shir. Not for now. I can spend the whole shir on that. Yes.
So I heard today that Sephardim don't even make a bracha when they do certain
stuff.
They don't make, like, someone
learned
that they don't even
from Hanukkah. Of course, they make a bracha. They can't not. Svarim can't argue with a Gemara. They can't argue with a Rambam. Can't argue with a Shulchan. Of course, Svarim make a bracha. You heard, didn't hear, whatever you heard.
I didn't hear
it. Unless
it's
women
who are
doing.
No, no.
No, no. Women will make a bracha according to Svarim on Hadlakat Nerot, because women are obligated.
Not on
Lulam Sukkah. That's something else. Yes. That's not for it. Yeah.
Aren't there different.
Excellent. Nothing. It's one of my students. That's all. Yeah. Yeah. Yes?
Different levels of Kavana in the sense of if Caro is mentioning this in terms of the Kriyachma, there you can understand it's a philosophical underpinning of everything.
Okay,
so it's very different than the Kavana of doing something.
That's what,
is that what you, oh, I didn't hear.
Ms. Ross asked. Why does Caro wait till Kriya Shema to formulate this halacha? There are four topics that he could have introduced it before, for talis, for tefillin. Why did he wait to Kriya Shema? It's a good question. The Gemara does
something different.
But right now we're not highlighting differences. We're hiding the principle. We're going to get to differences tonight. Okay. Let's move on now. At least we know where we're headed. So open up to page 3. Shockingly, all the pages are numbered in order.
Because
the Yankees are not playing. And the Giants doesn't pay to put their numbers on. Even though they did win this week. Yes. So this is the Rambam in Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Bet. Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Bet. Says the Rambam, Mitzvat Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva hi ad me'od. The mitzvah of lighting Ner Chanukah is an extremely cherished mitzvah. V'tzarich adam lehizaher ba. A person has to be very meticulous to make sure that you fulfill this mitzvah. Why? Kidei lehodia hanes, to publicize the miracle, ulahosif b'shevach ha'el, and to increase praise of God, the hodaya lo, and thanksgiving unto God, al hanisim she'asah lanu, based on the fact that He performed these incredible miracles on our behalf. And here the Rambam tells you how far this particular halacha goes. It is an exception to another famous rule. The rule is, you are not allowed to spend more than 20% of your assets for the fulfillment of any mitzvah. Not allowed to. So if somebody, you know, today it's hard for us to imagine in America not spending money because a mitzvah is more than 20% of my assets. But in the Altaheim, it wasn't such a difficult thing to imagine. We all have stories of grandparents and great grandparents who lived in dire poverty. My grandfather told me on Shabbos only they had one chicken for 16 people.
They stopped the neck so we could have a piece.
Yeah, it's crazy. And he told me there was a church next door to his house with an apple tree. They used to climb over the fence every day, otherwise they were going to starve. And they took all the apples that fell off the tree. They did all the time. They knew they shouldn't, but they were starving. So in that such an environment, if you have to buy a pair of tefillin, and the pair of tefillin cost $1,000, your assets are not $200. You're not allowed to buy a pair of tefillin. You're exempt. You're exempt from every mitzvah if you can't afford it. Affording means never to spend more than 20% of your assets. There are only two mitzvot where this is an exception to the rule. The Rambam, this is one of them. Afilu ein lo amo yochal. You have nothing to eat. Elamenat staka. How are you supporting yourself? Going around like a shnara in shul every day, coming to people, please give me some, knocking on people's doors. Shoel, you are required to borrow. O mocher ksuto, you sell the shirt off your back. The lokeach shemen, the neirot umadlik. You purchase oil and wicks and you light the menorah.
But you still do the minimum, presumably.
No, I'm going to show you that might be the simple reading. But one of the great commentators of a century ago, he believes that the Rambam means you have to do the Mahadrin. I'll show you why. One second, I'll show you. I'm going to get to that. Now, if you now look at this Rambam, you have to ask yourself, why does this mitzvah become an exception? Why can't I be guided with the negative thing? You know what? First of all, it's only a mitzvah mitzvah. Even for a doraita, I give you illustrations of a doraita, a lulav, an esrog, a tefillin, you're not allowed to spend more than 20% of your assets. So tell me what in the words of the Rambam will enable you to formulate why the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is special. What qualities are involved in this mitzvah? Good, you call it Pursumi Nisa. Correct, but the Rambam added, besides Pursumi Nisa, he said, that's Lahodiyah Hanes. To let people know. What else is there? Lahosif b'shevach ha'el v'hodayalo. To increase praise of God and thanks unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good. So what Rambam is telling us is that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah fits into a category of a small group of mitzvot that has something significant above and beyond the physical action of that mitzvah. Most mitzvot, I'm not talking about what the Zohar says, I'm not talking about what the Ramban says, philosophy and ta'amei ha-mitzvot, I'm not the chinuch. According to a simple reading, when you do a mitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety. You take a lulav, how do you fulfill the mitzvah? Just pick it up. That's all you have to do. Do I know what the mitzvah of lulav symbolizes? Absolutely not. It's nice to know, but you don't say the mitzvah. You light candles Friday night? You don't have to know it brings shalom bayis. Just have to light the candles. That's all there is. There are a handful of mitzvot that have a secondary aspect to those mitzvot. Chanukah is one of them. It's not just to light the candles, but the lighting of the candles is supposed to trigger something. Publicity, pirsum hanes, increasing shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, increasing thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you have a secondary component to the mitzvah, we are suggesting that that mitzvah cannot be fulfilled unless you are mentally aware of what your stated objectives are. It's not just enough to light the candles. You have to be michavein. You have to have kavana, so that I am doing this not because I need more light in the house, but because I want specifically to publicize the miracles to others, and I and my family are going to sing Haneros Halolo Ono Matlikin and Ma'os Tzur. If you look at Ma'os Tzur, it describes an incredibly important halachic principle. Why do I talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim in Ma'os Tzur? Why do I talk about Haman in Ma'os Tzur? Because there's a very significant halachic principle. The halacha is, whenever you are obligated to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one thing, you are obligated to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many things that He's, all things that He's done for you. So here on Hanukkah, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for miracles. So we mention all of the historical miracles that God did for us before Hanukkah. Before Hanukkah. Where do you see that principle illustrated in our liturgy? In Birchat HaMazon every single day. Why have the Rabbanan added the fourth bracha of Birchat HaMazon? The first three are of Torah origin. The next one, the fourth, Hu heitiv, hu meitiv, hu yeitiv lanu, hu gemalanu, hu gomlenu, hu yigmalenu la'ad. That was added by the Rabbanan. Why? Because if you're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food, thank Him for everything. Hu heitiv, He gave us the food. Hu yeitiv, He'll do something else good for us. Be very nice. I got my lottery ticket here. I'll pick out the numbers tonight. It will be Hu yeitiv gewaldig. Gewaldig. 100%. I always have it in mind. So, good. So here too, there is a mitzvah to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hanukkah. So I am thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. That's the entire Ma'os Tzur. That's what...
Why don't you do that on Purim?
I'll show you that we might do that on Purim. Hold on. Not right now, but for a Purim shir, remind me, I'll do it.
And I was thinking the sukkahs. Like, building that sukkah is also a testimony to the fact that He took us through the Midbar and He...
Good.
So that should be an opportunity for us.
That's a very good question. People ask that question, and some say, the Bach says, you have to be aware of that when you sit in the sukkah. He does say that. Not everyone does. And he does. But some do. But it's a good point. It's a very good point. So now we're going to build and show that this idea has a lot of support elsewhere. That if there is a secondary consideration in the performance of the mitzvah, then kavana is an integral aspect of that particular mitzvah. Go to page number 4 for a minute. No, don't go to 4 for a minute, for a second. I'll develop that later. Go to page, I want to show you who says this in a much broader context. Page 9, Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah takes a Gemara in Masechet Brachot and just applies a principle which, according to most others, has nothing to do with the Gemara that he's commenting on. Here is the case. Here's the case. I have a cup in my hand and I think it's a glezel levine. So as I am about to make, as I start the bracha, I say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. I think I'm going to make a Bayer Pri Hagafe. I look down. It's a glezel latay. So what do I say? Shakoli Yavid Baruch. So the Gemara debates whether or not I have to make another bracha or not. Listen carefully. I said the right bracha. I said, Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro. But at the time, when I thought, when I was saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, I had the wrong bracha in mind. So he believes that's how he interprets the Gemara. The issue is a kavana issue. The issue is a kavana. I had the wrong kavana in mind. That's what he believes. So now, in light of the fact that he believes that this is a kavana issue, well, do you think this Gemara would shed light on the general question? Do mitzvot have to have kavana or not have kavana? If he believes it's a kavana issue, is this Gemara shedding light on that issue? What does he say? Yes, he does. And that's his conclusion. He says, if you look where I bracketed, a line above that, in the middle of the line, a line above when I started the bracketed, it says, Ulefi Mashiposak Harif Zal. Then there is a parenthesis, Perigimel de Rosh Hashanah Dav Chav Ches. Everybody see that? In the Rabbeinu Yonah. In the Rabbeinu Yonah, where I bracketed, do you see that? A line above I bracketed. So he said, according to what the Rif paskened, the mitzvos srichos kavana, the Rif says, all mitzvos must have kavana. Asi shapir. This Gemara comes out great. Very nice. Now go to where I bracketed. Omnam, however, Rabbeinu, hi, Gaon, Zichrono Levracha, Rav Hai Gaon said, the Harbe Min HaMeforshim, and many of my colleagues, the Parshanim of the Mid-Ages, said, Pasku, the mitzvos, ain't Srichas Kavana. So he goes on to discuss, how are they going to resolve this Gemara in light of their Pesach? It's not my consideration right now. However, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, so skip now to the second line, in the middle of that second line where it says V'yesh Lomar. Here the Rabbeinu Yonah is going to say something gigantic in line of the principle which we stated 5 minutes ago. V'yesh Lomar. The afilu mi shesover the mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. Even those authorities who paskin, who believe mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana, Hani mili, that's heimem, hani mili, that's only bidavar shiyeshbo ma'aseh. That is only mitzvot of action. Shema'aseh hu bimakom kavana. Because the action itself takes the place of the kavana. Why else would I be want doing this action unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do so? Kigon Netilas lulav, just like the taking of a lulav. De amrinan, where the Gemara says, midagbahu, as soon as you picked it up, nafak bay, you have discharged your responsibility. You don't have to wave it. That's all added later on. Mida oraisa, you take your lulav, you pick it up, end of discussion. Avol b'mitzvot shetuluya b'amira bilvad, but a mitzvah that is performed exclusively by words, vadai tzricha kavana. You certainly have to have kavana by any mitzvah that is performed only with words. Sheha amira he believe. Talking is in your heart. That's what it means literally. You're going to tell me what he means. Talking is in your heart. When you don't have kavana, when you're saying, and you don't do an action, you haven't done anything. If you do a mitzvah of amira without kavana, tell me what, say it in a sophisticated manner, what is the incredible principle of the Rabbeinu Yonah? What does he mean? Shaha amira he believe. Normally we think amira is bepeh. You do speaking with... What does he mean, Amira is belayed? What do you think those words mean?
Speak what?
Speak
what's thoughts, what's in your head and heart that you're speaking. And so that's the portal of how
understanding. You're saying it exactly. If you don't understand what you're saying, if you don't understand the meaning of the words are words. Are not, those are not words. Those are sounds. So, you said it. In order to make speech meaningful, you have to think about what you're about to say. It's part of the problem of the world. One second. We say things without thinking about what we're about to say. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm making Kiddush on Friday night. You're obligated to make Kiddush on Friday night. It's a mitzvah that you're obligated to observe. In fact, many authorities say you're obligated even more than your husband. If you didn't daven Maariv, you are chayav in Kiddush mid'oraita, and he's chayav in Kiddush only mid'rabbanan. Because when you say the Kiddush in Mekadosh HaShabbos in Maariv, technically you will yotzei the mitzvah d'oraita already of sanctifying the Shabbos.
It's enough that I'm learning more for myself.
I mean, I'm in addition because of
your kidney. I didn't say you have to make Kiddush yourself. I said you're chayav. You can be yotze. He can be yotze through you, or you can be yotze through him. Because shemei kohanim or dav marv. Then you're both on the. But you're chayav midrabbanan to make it on kiddush on yayin. Even though you dav marv, he's obligated also only on a drabbanan level. So anyhow, that's why Shari comes to shul every Friday night, every day, because she wants to be on this. Only on a Durabbanan level for Kiddush. So her husband shouldn't be on a lower level than her. That's what a Katzadeka she is. Okay. Anyhow. So, I'm making Kiddush. I haven't the foggiest idea what I'm saying. I think I'm reading a comic book. That's what I think I'm reading. A comic book in Hebrew. That means we make Kiddush? Says the Rabbeinu, it's a very sharp insight. Every mitzvah of Amira has to be accompanied by some kavana. On a basic level, it means to know what you're talking about. To say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessed art thou, O Lord, our King, King of the universe, that you sanctified the Sabbath. They sanctified us and commanded us to sanctify the Shabbos. So that's Kavanah. You know what you're saying, says the Rabbeinu Yoina. Every mitzvah of Dibur requires Kavanah. So even if I paskin mitzvot ain't srichot Kavanah, that's because it's good for actions. But where you need a mitzvah, when I say Kriya Shema, when I read Hallel this morning, if you don't understand what you're saying, in what way is this Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I might as well be reading it in Chinese if I don't understand the words that I'm saying. So in a similar vein, we are proposing that because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah has an added fulfillment above and beyond the technical action of lighting, in order to fulfill that mitzvah, I must necessarily have that thought in mind. Just give me one second. So what bracha is designed to make sure that I solicit those thoughts from my mind? What bracha during Hadlakat Neirot is designed to... What? Sha'asa nisim labo seinu. That's exactly why I make that bracha when I'm maglik the ner. Because I have to be aware of the fact that it's not just an act of kindling. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles. That's Lahosif Shevach Ha'el V'Hodaya Lo. Yes.
But those mitzvot with action don't necessitate the intent. It doesn't come necessarily guaranteed with the intent. You can pick up the lulav and go off to something else, you know, passing by. It doesn't...
Lulav doesn't require kavanah. Nothing. It's an action.
So
he's
no,
only...
And so you're doing it and you
good.
Have no kavanah.
Good. His statement was, the action represents the kavana. He can't believe that you would pick up a lulav unless you're cognizant of the fact that God asked you to do it. Otherwise, you have a lot better things to do with your time than to pick up a lulav. Why else would you do something like that? Yes? So
inadvertently, you are saying that the Pursumanisa has to be to yourself.
No. Pursum...
No, if Pursumanisa is the...
That's the objective of the lighting as well. The Hosif Shevach, that's not for somebody else. That's for you. And whoever understands what they're seeing. When they will see and remind themselves, why are they lighting candles? Because there was a miracle today. What will they then do when they acknowledge that there was a miracle that took place? What will they hopefully do? They will too thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly. That's the bracha for the ro'eh. If somebody doesn't light and he just walks by, doesn't have an opportunity to light, he looks at somebody else's, and what bracha does he say? She'asa nisim lavoseinu bayamei mahim basman hazeh. Yes?
So this is a question about the davening. Because Hebrew is not our first language, and they can just go and say every word you're saying. But if you have in mind what you're saying before, like before Shema, you stop and you say, you know, this is Ben Hashem.
That's enough. You don't have to have a... Do you need a word-for-word comprehension? You do not. Correct. Anybody who asks me, who struggles under the... Ask me, can they daven in English? I said, of course.
I know you could. But I'm asking, if you're saying you need to understand every word, then I'd say, yes, I would have to.
Okay, you don't have to. It's preferred, but... So, there is much debate. What do you have to be aware of? Davening is a good example. There are several possibilities what you have to be aware of. So, for the first bracha, for example, you must understand every word in that bracha.
Yeah.
In the first of Shmon Esrei, you have to know the text. You have to know the word. What you're saying, every single phrase. By the rest of Shmon Esrei, at least according to Rav Chaim's version of the Rambam, you only have to be cognizant of the fact that I'm standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is a much greater challenge. To be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing right in front of me. And that's why many authorities... The halacha is, according to the Rambam, if you daven without being cognizant of... You gotta daven again. Daven again. The Rambam writes that there were Gedolei HaRishonim who only davened once every couple of months. Because they couldn't be mechaven. The Rambam says if you come off a tiring trip, we all know what a tiring trip was, but in his day, you weren't sitting in first class or in business class on El Al. You were on first class donkey. That's about all you are. Or first class camel. So when you traveled across a desert or on a boat that time, you were wiped out. The Rambam says, take a few days, maybe a week before you start davening. So the Rambam writes. Because davening without kavana is worthless. So today, many modern day commentators, having observed the scene, say, oh, you're going to daven again? You're not going to have any kavana the second time either. So what's going to be accomplished by davening a second time? But what? That's true. That's perhaps. So that's the challenge. Yes, to be at least sensitive as we plopple through those words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing as if you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Try it. Try it one day. Especially if it's a little more difficult in a bracha that we don't relate to. Do you have to have kavana to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's asking him to eradicate our enemies? Shoiver oivu machnias. That's not... But when you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah shalema from somebody, make believe he's standing right in front of you. Rabbeinu Shalom, please... Someone else needs a refuah shalema. I need a refuah shalema. Talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So you know somebody is struggling with a parnasa, and there are people in our community struggling. So when you say to Barech Aleinu, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if he's talking, standing right there, Rabbeinu Shalom, say it in English, Hebrew, anything you want. Please, can you help provide for that family? So, you know, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim Yerchal Barachem and Tashuv. Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, for restoring Yerushalayim and Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael to our control. All we need is one more thing. Please build the Beis HaMikdash. Please. Yes.
So this has tremendous implications for education as well as for women who don't understand Hebrew. So you're saying they shouldn't be davening? What?
No, they should be davening in English. Tefillah is b'chol lashon. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Sota.
Well, I think maybe having an English translation of the Siddur might be
that's better. Also fine. That's what
you have thousands and thousands of women, Hasidic women, who don't understand what they're davening. They daven Hebrew.
Okay.
So what if they, it's that?
But because at least I would assume they are aware of the fact that they're standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch. Good. It's good. So that's it.
And what about kids? Students?
Kids? It's a challenge. It's one of the greatest challenges of Jewish, American Jewish, you know better than most. It's one of the greatest challenges of American Jewish education. To get, it's not just kids. It's one of the greatest challenges of American Jewry to daven properly. Because if you don't sense the need, let's daven the Rabbeinu Shalom. I need the Rabbi. The only decision that I have to make is, am I getting the iPhone 10 or 11? That's the biggest problem I'm facing. Should I get a Lexus or a Mercedes? The greatest problem that I have. What's stopping the Rabbi Nishon? And I always just I love my grandfather's expressions. He said, in Europe, came Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Ventum Gitzitert. The walls were shaking because they knew the Yom HaDin is coming and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a decision whether I have two apples or three apples. In America, tefillah is lost. That's why the Rav spent so many shiurim about tefillah. So many of his yard site shiurim, his public, he could have taken an esoteric topic above a comma someplace and impressed everybody with big knowledge, but he took simple tefillah topics that people had to hear and try to improve upon, and he spent many, many times doing that. So that's the Balaam, that's the Rabbeinu Yoina amplifying this, broadening our principle for all mitzvos amira, whether they are the Oraisa or the Rabbanan. The Oraisa or the Rabbanan. Let's get back to our topic. Back to our topic. Go to page number 6. Page number 6. Yeah. I've told you many times that the Rambam never actually wrote in any one of his books whether mitzvot tzrichot kavana or ain't Srichot Kavana. He never told us. It's one of the shocking things. Upstairs in heaven, there is a long line of people who are asking that question. Rambam, why couldn't he just tell us one way or the other? What he did was, he gave cases which illustrated the principle, and of course the two cases contradicted one another. So we don't know. I've told you this. Maybe more than once. The Rambam writes, if I take a piece of matzah and I crush it and I force your mouth open and I shove it down your throat, you are yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. So if that was the only Rambam you ever heard of, would you say the Rambam holds mitzvahs tzrichos kavan or ain't tzrichos kavan? Ain't tzrichos kavan. Okay. That's the conclusion that you draw. Problem is, he wrote another Rambam in Hilchos Shofar, where the Rambam writes that you can only be yotzei the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar if you have kavana to be yotzei, and the Baal Tokeya has kavana to be motzi you. Otherwise, if you don't have that kavana, you can be in shul for all 100 sounds, or in Rabbi Jack, the shul 101 sounds, because Sfardim never do anything in even numbers, so they blow 101. So you're not Yotzei to Shema, you're not Yotzei if you don't have that in mind. So you'd say, oh, the Rambam holds mitzvah srichas kavana. So there is a debate now, which of the cases of the Rambam illustrates the rule, and which is the exception. So the Magen Mishnah has one way. I'm not going to tell you what he says. I'm going to give you Reb Chaim's answer. I'm pretty sure I told you. Reb Chaim says, the rule of thumb is, and Reb Chaim didn't know about the rule of pinky, so he only says the rule of thumb, is that mitzvot never need kavana. And that the rule is the illustration of matzah. The exception is if you don't do the action yourself. If you're doing absolutely nothing. What are you doing by Shofar? Twiddling your thumb. If it wasn't Yontif, you'd be looking at your cell phone. That's what you'd be doing during Tkiyah Shofar. So how do you connect to the person who's doing the mitzvah? How? By having kavana. That's what Reb Chaim says. All mitzvot where you do the action yourself, you don't need kavana. If you have to relate to someone else, then you do need kavana. So the Baal Tokeya, if he reads, blows for himself, doesn't have to have any kavana. If you make kiddush in your house for yourself, you don't have to have kavana. But if someone else is relying on your kiddush, like Cheryl, when she's making kiddush, other people in the house are relying on her kiddush, she has to have in mind to be motzi them, and they have to have in mind to be... That's why they announce them before Tkiyah Shofar. Please have in mind to be yotzi. We always make that announcement. Good. Now read the Rambam in Perek Bet of Hilchos Megillah, Halacha Hey, I bracketed it. What is the Rambam is not talking about reading the Megillah in shul. Because Megillah fundamentally is not a shul activity. It's best to do it in shul, but everyone admits, if you read it to yourself, you don't say the mitzvah. No one disagrees with that. The Mishnah never says, ever, that Megillah has to be read with a minyan. It's the right thing to do. From a cloth. You just read it from a cloth. Read it for yourself. Like today, everybody has a cloth. Let me see. If you look around, shul. Everybody's got their own cloth. So
but it has to be read in Hebrew. From a cloth.
Yes, from a cloth. No, it can be read in other languages too. From a cloth. If it's written in French and you understand French, you can read it in French. So now, look what the Rambam says. And what question, based on the rule of Reb Chaim that I just gave you, tell me what the Rambam is saying. What does he say? Hakoreis ha-Megillah below kavana. Lo yatsa.
You did something, so you should be
yatsa. I did it to self. I read the Megillah. So why would the Rambam say, lo yatsa, lo yatsa? Why?
For someone else.
No, he's saying, reading it for yourself. He didn't say, to be motzi somebody. Hakoreis ha-Megillah below kavana, lo yatsa. You have not fulfilled your obligation. So tell me, in light of our suggestion tonight, why is it there is no kavana? You must have kavana by Kriyas HaMegillah. Because what?
It's words.
No, that's Rabbeinu Yonah. That's Amira. Our share didn't start with that. We're looking why Hanukkah was an exception. So what principle did I tell you why Hanukkah is the exception? Because it has another aspect to it. Well, what else? So does Megillah. Megillah is also Persume Nisa. That's why we read the story. And we to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his miracles. To bring praise unto God and what? And thanksgiving unto him. So the Rambam is aware of this principle as well. And just as we suggested by Hanukkah, the Rambam is saying quite clearly in relationship to Megillah. Megillah has that second dimension. It's not just to read 10 chapters in a text and not know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about, you have not been Yotzei the Megillah.
Is reading the Haggadah similar?
Yes. Pesach at night, that is correct. That's the third place where there is persume nisa. 100%. Correct. If you don't understand anything, whatever the bare minimum of the Megillah is, I mean of the Haggadah, whatever the bare minimum of the Haggadah is, you know, to say, Rab Gamliel, whatever it is, if you have no clue of what you're saying, you're not going to the midst of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Is there a bracha?
That question has been asked 50 times. 500. Why is there no bracha introducing the Megillah? I mean, the Seder. Okay? There are many answers to that. I'll just give you the simplest, most concise answer. Why is there no bracha by Berachas HaMazon? Because whenever you fulfill a mitzvah, either as a bracha or within the framework of brachot, there is no birchat hamitzvah for that mitzvah. Did you say Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu likro et Shema this morning?
No.
How come? There's a mitzvah to read the Shema. Because it's in the framework of birchot Shema. We call it birchot Shema. Because they surround the Shema. Two brachot before and one after. So if a bracha is in the within the framework of brachot, under those circumstances, you don't make a bracha of the mitzvah. The Haggadah is in the framework of brachot. It concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem, Go'al Yisrael. It has brachot. Therefore, it doesn't require its own birchat HaMitzvah. But you're right, it's one of the illustrations that if you don't understand what in the world you are talking about, Pesach at night, you may have had a very nice time, may have enjoyed the matzah and the maror, you would be yotzei the mitzvah, the matzah maror. But you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because its mitzvah is, its objective is to lisaper benisim v'niflot shas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to say thank you hodaya lo. That's the definition of the mitzvah. Definition of the mitzvah. So that's another illustration of this particular principle. Another particular principle. I'll give you one more. One more. Go to page 8 for a minute. One last thing. Page 8. Page 8. Tzedakah is a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiroi. You give tzedakah to another. We're only talking about mitzvot shebein adam l'makom. There is never a bracha on a mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveiroi. Think about it. You do hachnasas orachim, you don't make a bracha. You know, you give tzedakah, you don't make a ra. The question is why? It's a good question. Not for tonight. This particular is a very, very serious debate. I'll tell you what the topic is talking about. The Gemara said in Shabbos that the candles should be lit from sundown until there are no longer any people walking around in the street. That's what the Gemara says. Mitzvata mishetishka chama sunset ad shetichle regel menashuk. In the time of the Gemara, the latest somebody was out was a half hour after dark. That's where the half hour comes from. And in fact, Jews were not out a half hour after dark. It says the Gemara, who was it? It was a Gentile nation who would sell wood and knock on your door, do you need any wood? It was the name of the people were called Talmudai. So we are obligated to keep our candles going as long as the Talmudai people are outside. It's an interesting inclusion for a different shir, that the mitzvah persume nisa for Chanukah applies to Gentiles too. Not only to Jews. That's why there is some logic to Lubavitch lighting all over the world. Even though it's a serious question, just whether you're allowed to make a bracha on lighting on 72nd Street. Because the mitzvah is related to the house. Ner ish u beito.
And they're out in Astor Place with candles.
What?
Today, all week, these
Lubavitchers. Okay, so they obviously they don't agree with us.
They want you to light a candle.
I understand.
Isn't that Pursumi Nitzvah also?
No. Pursumi Nitzvah means you have to do the mitzvah first. And then there is a secondary component to be pursuing it. But if it's not a mitzvah, so I'm not discussing Lubavitch tonight. They do a very nice job, there's no doubt. But it's based on this Gemara. It's just. The Gemara means that you light it in your house and you publicize the miracle to the Gentiles walking in front of your house. But anyhow, that's one interpretation about why the Braita gives a beginning time and an end time to tell you how long you have to light. Then the Gemara has a second possibility. You know why the Gemara gives the beginning time and the end time? To let you know till when are you obligated to light. There are many mitzvot where if you miss the starting time, that's it. It's done with. Done with. Like Shabbos candles. It's done with for a different reason. Why? Because you can't light it afterwards. That's correct. That's why. But many mitzvot, once the time is passed, that's it. That's it. Take Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is only for the first 3 hours in the morning. After that, I'm sorry, you can want to read Kriya Shema.
Same thing, you're in the window of time, and this is also window of time.
So hold on one second. So now, the Gemara is telling us what is the window of time. Okay. Good. Now, as I said, this half hour is only at that time. So many modern day authorities say, today, our obligation to extend the time, both for the how long the candle should light and when you're allowed to light, is way beyond a half hour. People are walking around till, well, who knows, till midnight. Okay? So what happens if you're stuck at work and you now get home and there's nobody out at 12 o'clock? Okay? Are you allowed to light or not? So Tosfot says that today it makes no difference when you're going to light. Tosus writes, I'm not going to read Tosus since I don't have time. Tosus says, makes no difference what time you're going to light today. We don't care how many people are on the street or not. Why? Because today, at least Tosus' time, there was danger in lighting outside. So what does the Gemara say when it's dangerous, when you're going to get killed by the anti-Semites? Where do you light? On your kitchen table? And that's it. You don't put it by your window. You put it by your kitchen table where nobody can see you. That's what the Gemara says. B'shasa sakana manicha al shulchano. So Tosfos says, okay, so then...
That's irrelevant.
So it's irrelevant today. Good. So if I come home at 12 o'clock and everybody is sleeping, according to what I just said, should you be able to light?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tosfos says, no. Somebody's got to be up. Because even if what? You're not publicizing the miracle what? To someone else outside. By definition, Hadlakat Neirot of Chanukah means publicizing and increasing the praise of the HaKadosh Baruch. You wake them up. Exactly. That's what the Shulchan Aruch passes on that Tosis. You got to wake somebody up. That's correct. No, that's not enough. Absorbing, it's always to someone else. Lehosif b'sheva ha'el. Exactly.
What happens if you're by yourself?
You better light early.
He says you light without a bracha. If you get home after the commercial population outside. You light without a bracha if there's nobody outside. No one walking around outside. I would say if you get home 12 o'clock in Teaneck tonight, nobody... There are those who disagree with Tosfos. I'm not here. You might be able to make a bracha. The Rebbe said you can make a bracha anytime. But that's because it's based on some other authorities. I'm trying to bring a point from Tosfos. Why will Tosfos say that even if the mitzvah is to put it on your table, the Rambam doesn't care if anybody's up. The Rambam believes today... Because of the danger, Pursumi Nisa was taken out of the equation. If you light it on your kitchen table, nobody can see it. There is no Pursum today. Tosfos says, no. The Pursum always is part of it. depends who are you giving the pirsum to. To the outsiders or to someone in your house. So therefore there's got to be someone up. No, it's always to someone else. Always. So here's what I conclude. Again, what does Tosfos show to us? I'm just bringing you to support for the premise that in all situations, even today, what is the definition of the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot? It's not a truk in a maisad luck, not a dry maisad luck, like a litvak. It's understanding what it means. The significance, the hosif b'shevach ha'el. And that's why it's an exception to the Magen Avraham's rule, who says that all mitzvot derabanan ein tzrichot kavana. Pesach at night is an exception to the rule. Judy, if you want to just take page 11, you have the Or Sameach. He says v'lokeach shemen ve'erot gam lehahidur v'hatosvos hatosefet. There it is. If you wanted to see it, okay. I just got to catch Marv. Yes. You can blow them out. You don't have to. No. You can if you'd like. Yeah, but you don't have to. I'm writing myself.